The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to talk about a new movie? Check. Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network, hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
In the world of worship music, there is honestly not a name hotter than Chandler Moore and Maverick City Music. Together, let's find out who this guy is and all about the secret sauce.
What else? With Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
Well, first of all, thank you for wearing a black hoodie. That's my absolute, like, if there was a law passed, you're only allowed to wear one thing for the rest of your life, I would be a black hoodie.
It's my go-to. It's my easy go-to.
I am non-string. The strings have to come off.
You can't do these.
Well, they go in the mouth, Chandler, and that's not good. It is so great to meet you. Thank you for a few minutes today, and I can't wait to get into the weeds on your story. Yeah. Is that cool?
Yeah, let's do it.
Charleston, South Carolina, is that the origin story?
That is the beginning. That is where it all popped off. That is my home. That's where I was born and raised. I love Charleston. Growing up, I didn't like visiting because the town was so small and country, but now I am in love with back home. So, yeah, I love Charleston.
Put these in order of things that you and I must do if we are going to go to Charleston.
Okay.
Pineapple fountain photo, South Carolina aquarium, or Fort Sumter Monument game of hide and seek.
That pineapple picture thing is taking me out. Definitely Fort Sumter hide and seek is number one. That's number one. That's top on the list. Then I would have to do the aquarium. Aquarium is pretty cool. And then I'll do the pineapple picture. The pineapple picture is really funny, though.
Who's mom and dad? I learn a lot about people when I ask that question.
Yeah. My dad is a pastor in Charleston, Brian Moore. Pastors a church called Life Center Cathedral, Charleston, South Carolina. And then my mom is alongside him at the church, but she's also a life coach. She does a lot of psychotherapy stuff for people. My mom's really cool. I get my goofiness from my mom.
You grew up under the teaching of your dad. You see him at church. Give me something, Chandler, that you remember dad saying that stuck with you today. Like that, did he have a catchphrase? Did he have a go-to thing? Like, oh, he's teaching this again. What was his thing?
That's a good question. I think one of the things that my dad will always talk about is the wisdom of David's return to God. So my middle name is David. My dad's middle name is David. He would always talk about the heart of David, how David, when the prophet Nathaniel came up, came to David and said, get up, like wipe yourself, like wash your face, all that stuff. And he will always talk about the psychology of David in that moment and how a lot of times we beat ourselves up and we fall, we have moments, but the Lord is like, hey, get up, refresh yourself. It's things to do, it's time to move forward. So you always talk about that. That sticks with me. One, because I feel like a lot of my life has been modeled after David. It's not just musically, but even the mindset and some of my falls and some of that stuff. I look at the life of David a lot. So that always is ringing in the back of my head, the psychology, the wisdom of David is what he used to talk about.
And you said mom was a life coach, so has she passed along any wisdom to you, like currently? Has she got like a, now Chandler, remember this?
Yes, that is my mom. My mom, I mean, I'm in one of the lowest seasons of my life when, about 2016, I didn't believe in anything I was doing, didn't believe in who I was as a child of God. I had shame, condemnation, everything, just, I mean, very depressed. And my mom would text me every morning, call me every morning. And hey, you're still going to do this. You're still going to do great things. You're still just reminding me. And her voice is always in the back of my head. And low moments, like, she called champion. She always, hey, champion, get up. So that is my mom. She's amazing. I love my mom.
Ballpark number, how many altar calls before you were 13?
52 weeks. It's 52 Sundays in a year. Definitely about 100 times, at least 100 times 13. Definitely about 1,300.
You and me both.
Two times a week both. At least.
Chandler, when would you say you got it, though?
That's scary. I think it was at the age of 13. I received the Lord in my life. I think it was salvation. I remember I was in we did a service in a high school. It was a youth service. I gave my life to the Lord at 13 years old. Yep.
At age 16, you're alone in the church. You're playing piano. You're prepping for a service. Do you remember what happened?
16. How do you know this stuff? What is happening? What in the world? 16, man. I remember I had a crazy encounter with the Lord at the age of 16. I was working at a church, a very small church. I mean, for some reason, we did two services. And this particular Sunday, I mean, we literally would have maybe about 13 people come to our main service. So I don't know why we had two services, but the morning service came and no one was there but me and the pastor. The pastor was still in the back room getting prepared. And I started church time at, I think our service started like 8:30, and it was time to start worship. I started worship, started singing, and the encounter, I remember I was singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the encounter that I had with that the Lord, I still pull from that well today. I remember ending up on the floor just saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Even to this day, I have something I always say to remind myself. The Lord remembers every yes. He remembers every yes. And I feel like a lot of what I'm experiencing, dang, man, I forgot. Corey, this is a good question. I think a lot of things of what I'm experienced today in this season of my life, a lot of that is from that yes, Lord, I gave at 16. Like, he remembers every yes. He remembers every yes. And I think I was saying yes to him to things I didn't even know what was to come. But the purity of that moment and the purity of me being 16 and not knowing what was ahead. And man, that encounter was marked me. It marked me forever.
Personal question. May I ask about Deuce and River?
Yeah, those are my boys. Deuce is 4, about to be 5 in June next month. And River is 2, will be 3 in December. Those are my boys. That journey, I mean, 2016, when I was talking about the lowest moment of my life was the year Deuce was born in 2017. So I found out about Deuce. And it forced me to confront a lot of the issues that I had as a child. I mean, I got molested and I was sexually active a lot around that time. And it forced me to confront all of those issues. I think, when you're in church, you can put makeup on and put a mask on, especially when you're a preacher's kid. All that stuff can be, hidden behind a mask and behind going to church every Sunday. But it forced me to go start therapy. Forced me to do all that stuff because I really wanted to get to the root of all of it. I remember being so ashamed of Deuce. And now I can't imagine life without that boy. River's probably my twin as far as he's an introvert. River's my boy. He lives in Atlanta. Deuce is in Houston. I'm in Dallas. So those are my boys. I love them. I couldn't imagine life without them, honestly.
I don't want to blow too quickly past this. You went into therapy to get to the root of it. So my follow-up question would be, did you?
Yeah, I got to the root of it. I realized a lot of my sexual activity and my all of that was the need for affirmation that I didn't receive after I got molested, and trying to prove myself through the relationship with women that I am who I am, that I actually am a son of God, that I actually am a man, that I have man, you do all that stuff to try to prove to yourself that you are who you are. And once I got to the root, it drastically changed my perspective of who I was as a man, even as my identity as a child of God. It really helped me work through a lot of stuff. And it drastically changed my view of God concerning me. And that always helps.
What pulled you to Dallas?
Man, the Lord, literally the Lord. I mean, me and my wife, we got married June of last year. After we got engaged, or right before we got engaged, February, we were driving back from Florida to Georgia, where we were living at the time. I was living in Atlanta, but I had moved outside of Atlanta to live near where my wife was. And we were driving back to Georgia, and we were praying. We pulled over and prayed. We're like, Lord, because I really wanted to move to New York. I love New York. My dad's from New York. I love big city, fast-paced life, all that stuff. We pulled over like, Lord, where do you want us to move? If it's New York, make it clear. If it's Dallas, make it clear. We have friends in Dallas where we were really attached to. We're like, man, Dallas feels like a cool place too. We were driving, after we pulled over and prayed, 45 minutes later, we are driving down this dirt road. I mean, single lane. We took a shortcut, I think, because we were headed somewhere else and we decided not to go last minute. And so we're on this road trying to figure out how to get back to the main highway. We passed, there's a sign on the road. 45 minutes after we prayed, crying out to the Lord, there's a sign that says Dallas Moore Road. So I'm driving. My wife's on her phone, not really paying attention. Driving, I'm like, did you see that sign? I was like, it said Dallas Moore. She's like, no, it didn't. So I literally am pulling, I did a U-turn, an illegal U-turn in the middle of this dirt road, went back, took a picture. That thing said Dallas Moore Road. And we were like, okay, I'm because growing up in church, you can do you can get a little spooky sometimes. I'm like, that's a sign that's been there. But this felt so strong. I was like, oh, that's kind of a goosebump mode. That's weird. That's crazy. So we took that as the Lord's calling us to Dallas. We did it.
I've seen you behind a piano, Chandler. When did that start? Did you have a piano teacher growing up?
My first instrument was drums. I learned drums at like 3 or 4. I started playing drums. Growing up my dad was a musician and my church is very musical. I think a lot of what I do with math today is because I grew up in that environment. So started drums around 4, and then piano came. I had a piano teacher, but what happened was it was the pace. She was just moving too slow. I knew some of the bases already. I should have been more patient. I wish I would have stayed in it. But she was just moving too slow. So my mom thought I was in piano lessons for a month before I quit. I was only in piano lessons for 2 weeks. I went twice. And then when the times I was supposed to be there, I was hanging out with some of my friends at school in the after school program. And I told my mom eventually a month later. Or no, she was paying for it. And the piano lesson teacher called her like, hey, your son hasn't just shown up. So that's how that ended.
I remember when I took piano, Chandler, there was a song that I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I want to know that song.
Yeah.
Did you have one of those moments of okay, if we're going to do this, I want to learn that one?
Yeah. And that's the issue. The song was way more complicated than what I was prepared for because it was in my church. So the song could have been something like, I remember this song. There is none like you. Or either that or I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today because you care for me. So I wanted to do stuff like that, which may, when you're learning basics, that's just kind of like, it's so many, those songs have so many nuances with the choruses. So I was rushing. I didn't wait on the Lord on that one.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an Orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So you're leading worship. Did you see someone at some time in your life and be able to go, okay, I want to do that?
Man, I grew around amazing worship leaders at my church. A guy named DJ Hurston, girl named Chelsea Nona Oates, well, Green now, she's married. And the way they led worship was, one, so selfless, but it was also, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, the mixture of worlds that Mav is not anything new to me. So like, I grew up in the era of church where charismatic Black Pentecostals in our churches, where we would go from a really strong heavy gospel song to a hill song. Like we would flow into like a, I will exalt you. But it with 3-part harmony, strong band. Like, so that's what I grew up in. And I remember, like, in those environments, like, man, they look like this is great. Like, this is it was regular to me. So I think I wanted to be definitely like DJ Hurston and Chelsea Green. And the way they led worship was just so free, the spontaneous moments. I remember we would get stuck in moments for just timeless moments. That's just amazing. So, yeah, those are probably up there on my list.
Have you ever gotten to tell them that, the influence that they had on you?
Yeah, I think in the past recent days I have. I'm starting to learn what that does for people, because I'm starting to see how it encourages me. Like, people who may not see the fruit of every seed that they plant. Every chance I get, I mean, I told them this. We did a recording in Charleston back at home at Mother Emanuel a couple of weeks ago for Mav and Kurt collab, and they came, and I honored them in front of them. I'm like, man, y'all don't understand. Like, this what we're doing right now is because I grew up around the sound that you guys created in the church. So, yeah, I think I need to do a little bit more honoring them for sure.
You've mentioned Mav a couple times. This feels like a great spot to jump in and start with. For someone who's maybe familiar with Maverick City, or they see it on a Spotify playlist, it's popping up on one of their playlists, or comes across it on the radio BDS. Give me your definition of Maverick City music.
Man, Maverick City music is a rule-breaking, genre-blurring, lines-crossing, bridge-making type of thing. I think Maverick City was, we created Mav intentionally to blur the lines between Jesus making music. I think for too long it's been segregated. I mean, and with good intentions, gospel, Christian contemporary, basically Black, white. And we saw that and we just felt like it shouldn't be. I feel like music is music. Music has no color. And we created Mav to blur those lines. Like, we created Mav to put the gospel on an acoustic guitar, to put the CCM feel with some good ad libs and runs. Like, we wanted, and it's not, again, like I said earlier, it's not like we like intentionally like, hey, let's put this here to make it. No, these were environments that I grew up in. Like I was just saying, like, where Hillsong and Kirk Franklin came together, where we could do a Lamar Campbell, I love you, Jesus, I worship and adore you, that, and with a Hillsong or a Bethel vibe. Like, I grew up in that environment. Naomi grew up in that type of environment. It was just, I don't know, I guess the Lord knew back then, you know, of course he's sovereign, and he knew what was going to be needed for the time now, and he prepared us back then. So we created Mav for that. Mav is created for that reason. We are called and assigned to blur the lines. And that's what we hope to do.
I get a weekly email and I see Mav City up on the top of these streaming numbers. Right before you and I talked, I jumped on Spotify. I see a 45 million streamed song, Promises. Yeah. I see a 39 million streamed song in Gyra. How does that make you feel?
Man, I mean, being that, you know, you don't ever, I don't think people can ever, I mean, some people can. I not dreamed of, you know, having this much impact or effect on the church or the world at large. It's wild. It's one of those things that you're always processing, and that it's almost like you think about, but you can't think about too much because you know, you want to stay focused on assignment. So it's humbling, and I think I'm just honored for the Lord to be able to use, you know, what he gives me in these little rooms and are these little, like a base, old church basement gives us in these basements where Jire was literally written in a house basement that is now just, you know, encouraging people all over the world and is having such a huge impact. It's crazy to think about. It's wild.
Did I hear you just say staying focused on the assignment? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's an assignment.
What is your assignment, Chandler?
Man, one thing I always say, I think your purpose doesn't change, but assignments do. So I feel like my assignment this season is to, like I said, not just blur the lines of genres, but to present Jesus in a way that shows how accessible that he is. To present the gospel in a way to show how accessible it is. Like, to show that it was never created for a country club type group. It wasn't created for this people. It wasn't created for Jews. It's for Jew and Gentile. It's not created for a set apart group. It's created for everyone. It's the gospel is for everyone. So I think my assignment in this season musically is to show that. I think whether it's through music that's talking about Jesus, or music that's talking about our emotions and mental health, or it's music that's talking about love and my relationship with my wife, however, whatever it is, my assignment is to show that Jesus is accessible. The gospel is accessible. I think for far too long, we've hung it over people's head. Like, you have to do this. You got to be here. You got to sound like this. You got to look like this. You got to stop doing this. And it's like, hey, let Jesus do the work. But we first have to get across the point that the gospel, that Jesus, the cross, is accessible. And I think that's my assignment in this season, to do that musically and however I can creatively. And I think my assignment, I think that speaks to a bigger purpose. My assignment that way is Mav, and how I'm doing it through Mav in this season. We're going on tour with Kirk Franklin. We're going on tour doing crazy stuff. I think that's my assignment. I think my assignment is shifting a little bit in the coming months, which I think people will see as how I'm doing my purpose. But that's my assignment right now. You are a child, girl. You are enough. Oh, child, I know you to be here. Oh, and I will be content. Whatever my lot, in every circumstance, you are a child. You are enough.
I'm watching a video of you performing, leading worship, and you've got one of the biggest names on the planet sitting next to you, following your lead, Justin Bieber. And I've got a 24-year-old daughter who worships at the altar of Bieber.
Believer.
Yeah, can you get your head around that, Chandler, that there's this young man who has so much influence and he's following your lead? I mean, do you get your head around that?
I remember when Justin first DM'd me. I was in the car with my wife. We were driving to, I think it was around Thanksgiving or Christmas. We were driving to see my family. I literally was like losing my mind. I lost, like screaming. Like, I was a Justin fan. I wasn't a believer, but I loved his music, loved what he stood for or whatever. But from that time, which was, I think 2020. Yeah, 2020. End of 2020 to the time that the video of Jira came out, when we were leading worship at Church Home, we became real friends. Like, Justin is a real friend. Like, he's one of the most lovers of Jesus that I've ever seen in my life. Being in church my whole life, the genuine love that he has for the Lord is like mind blown. Like, it is like, it convicts me on a daily basis. So I think at that point when we're leading worship, it felt like, dang, I'm just leading worship with one of my friends. It felt like he was a part of MAV. And it was, but watching it back and seeing the impact that I'm like, oh, this was a moment. Like, in the moment, I didn't feel like it was, I didn't think it was a moment. It was just like, no, we just vibing, we just hanging out. But looking back, I'm like, dang, this is a part of my assignment. Like, this is showing one of the biggest, if not the biggest pop star in the world, is showing how accessible Jesus is. Like, you know, so it was a moment. It was crazy.
If you could undo one moment in your life, what would it be?
Woo! Corey! If I can undo one moment in my life, what would it be? Man, that's a deep question, Corey. I think I would have undid, okay. I would have undid the moment that I got curious. There was a moment where up until I was like 19, I was like, why do people make it so hard to please the Lord? Like, why? It's like, it's not that hard. It's not that difficult. It's not like, what is so? And it, my pride and self-righteousness opened up a level of curiosity to things I just should have left alone. And I would have undid that train of thought. Like, you know, yeah, it was weird. That was a great question. That got me, Corey. That got me.
What are you currently curious about?
What am I currently curious about? I am curious about the way we do church. I am exploring and very curious about the way we do church with the mega men. I mean, not that mega men are bad, but I'm curious about discipleship in a broader way. I'm curious about what it looks like for discipleship to be put on mainstream instead of church. That's what I'm curious about right now.
If Chandler Moore came with a warning label, what would the warning label say?
The warning label. Babe, what would my warning label say? My wife is sitting right here. I think it would be a great question to ask my wife. What would my warning label say? I have no filters, what she said.
Oh, which is a blessing and a curse, right?
It is a blessing and a big curse.
What are you most excited about right now?
Most excited about right now is this tour that we're going on. And not, I'm excited because I'm going on with the biggest gospel legend, Kirk Franklin, who is crazy, who has become a mentor and a friend this season. I'm really excited about that, and Jonathan McReynolds House Fires and just hanging out with the crew. But I think I'm way more excited because my family is coming on tour with me. My wife, my baby, my new baby, Crew Grace, who is sitting right here 3 weeks fresh. I'm really excited because they're coming on tour and getting the experience and having their love and that comfort and that home on the road is, I'm excited about what that's going to do for my heart and my energy on tour.
What else with Corey Mann from the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play. Feel free to leave some feedback, write a review, or tell a friend about What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
My computer died, Corey. I'm so sorry.
I thought that was the most amazing mic drop moment of like, I'm out. I'm out.
That is terrible. I'm so sorry. It just turned back on.
And how classy it is for you to call me back.
No, this is fun. This is really good.
This has been great.
Thank you. I love you. It's good to meet you. Can't wait to meet you in person.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.